off now? You need this stuff. Tampa Bay's Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, this is NFL Hall of Famer.
No, hey, this is NFL Hall of Famer Tony Dorsett. You're listening to Talking Sports with Randy Harris.
With the NASDAQ or whatever it's called, the Monopoly deck or whatever, I need to see what the movie theater stocks are at. I'd be curious.
Yeah, no, I mean, things are starting to open back up, so they got to be going up, right?
Well, yeah, I just want to see how much money I lost, that's all.
Nice to see Tony Dorsett. You know, last time we saw him was at the tapes in the NFL. So it's good to hear his voice coming out of the break.
Well, yeah, we heard his voice. We didn't see it. So, but no, yeah. You are correct. So where do you want me to go back to? Do you want me to go back to the main event? Do you want to talk about the co-main event? Do you want to talk about the first fight on the main card, which was the O'Malley fight, which big, massive ups, obviously, to Chris. He deserves everything that he said, and everything he said he was going to do, he said he was going to come forward. He said he was looking forward to punching Sean in the face. Everything he said was true.
Now, yeah, I mean, that's obviously a great starting point, but I would like to go back to Max Griffin's fight against a legend in the sport, you know, beating Carlos Condit in a prelim main card event.
Well, you're making it sound like, you know, he pulled off the biggest upset ever. Max was the favorite.
No, I know, but I mean, a lot of times, like, you know, when you know, fighting your idol, fighting someone that you has a big name, fighting someone that has, you know, clout or history, you know, it takes a lot for a fighter to do that. So, you know, to see Max's composure, and after he dominated what I thought was the first round, it looked like Carlos kind of, you know, started to change the momentum and took away round number two, maybe. And so it was nice to see Max not get defeated emotionally and mentally and stayed with the plan and finished the fight strong. I thought it was a great fight. I thought it was a back-and-forth fight. I thought at any time Carlos could have won the fight. He's that dominant of a fighter, that dangerous of a fighter. So for me, I thought that was the fight of the night.
And I would have been okay with that. You know, and again, I know you're saying it just to rile me up, but, you know, I never did look at the scorecards. I would be curious. What do you think, what were the card? What were the numbers? Do you remember?
I think it was like 29-28. I think it was,
well,
close.
I'm not talking about Max. I'm talking about what was given fight of the night, you know, Chris and Sean. Was that 30-12?
Yeah, I think Sean O'Malley. Oh, look, Sugar Sean O'Malley is on a 6-month suspension potentially because of the amount of punches that he threw and the damage that he did to his hands. So, I mean, that's really all you need to know about the fight.
Well, no, you were saying fight of the night. Well, you're right. I think maybe the Condit fight could have been fight of the night over, you know, if you wanted to give one of those underhanded, under-the-door envelopes to Chris, that's fine. You know, he deserved that. And I'm sure that's one of the things Dana was thinking about. How do I reward this guy? This guy was just refused to go to weight. What I definitely would have done is taken Herb Dean's money. Now, let me clarify that for a second.
Okay.
As a referee, you're not supposed to even care. You know, it's kind of like, you know, somebody once asked an umpire, you know, if a guy was throwing a perfect game and it's the bottom of the ninth, two outs, full count, and the ball is just a little bit on the outside corner, what would you do? And without batting an eye, the umpire's like, I'd call it a ball. You know, I've said how many times, I don't care who wins when I judge.
Right.
You know, you're not supposed to care. You're not supposed to be aware of the time. You're not supposed to, even though you know they are, you know, you look up just like anybody else does. I want to know, and I will ask Herb Dean next time I see him if I remember. Okay? So in that order, when I see him again, and I may or may not go to Houston to broadcast, the UFC is going to get back to me, and they may be getting back to normal a whole lot quicker than anticipated, and the show may be live in Houston in a couple weeks. So
what?
I'll see Herb there, if I go. So I'm waiting for confirmation on that. So
you gotta get rid of this I, like, you know, pronunciation. Like, you gotta be like more like we. Because we will go to Houston.
First of all, I'm not French. I went to France. I'm not French. I do need to change my passport, by the way. I am going to change my passport.
And where are you going?
Well, no, the passport are now going to have a third option for male, female, and I guess other. And I'm going to put other on mine from now on.
What's the purpose of that? For the Olympics?
Who knows?
Because you can go to Tokyo and not be in the fans? Because they're not allowing fans.
But let me get back to what I was saying. So when I see Herb Dean again, and if I remember, I want to know what he thought was different with 30 seconds left in the third round than 3 seconds into the fight in the first round. Yeah, it was the same. It was the same. Everything that you saw in round one and round two, you saw in round three. Why then did you decide, oh, he's had enough? He didn't look any different than the end of round two.
Yeah, he could have stopped the thing in the first 30 seconds.
He could have stopped it on the walkout. But I'm just saying, big ups to Chris. I mean, he's going to pick up a lot of sponsorship. He's
Going to a lot of heart. A lot of
fans. But, it was just awful. You know, and I've always said they're fighters. Let them, you know, let them go to the end. Let them go. You know, and it's a fine line. Being a referee is tough. But he didn't take any more abuse in the third round than he took in the second. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%.
So that's my itch of the day. And that's itch, I-T-C-H, itch.
No, I'm excited about going to Houston with you. I've never been to Houston. I'm excited about it.
I didn't know you were going.
I'm your chauffeur. I'll drive you. Look, 26 states in 31 days, 6,000 miles, no speeding tickets, no accidents. I think I'm qualified to drive you to Houston.
I know, but it still means we would have to hang out together.
Yeah, we get to stop in New Orleans. We'll have some seafood boils.
Oh, you're driving to Houston.
I'm driving to Houston, and I'm paying for the boils.
Well, paying for the food may get you invited.
How was Vegas? Were the buffets open again? Was things back to normal?
The buffet that I had a reservation for, I didn't know until about 2 hours before it was time for me to go to it, was $75.
Mm.
So I decided not to go. I went to the sushi buffet that we always go to, and this time it was outstanding. So I thoroughly enjoyed that. And then I went to a restaurant with Little Jimmy, Jimmy Denning from Tenors of Rock. Saturday we went to lunch, and phenomenal. They're deviled eggs. I don't care if they were $10 an egg, I would go back and get them again.
Really?
I don't think they were quite that, but they were pretty close. I think you got two, so, you know, four halves. And I bet you they were $12.
Well, while we were in Baltimore, I took your recommendation. I went by to see John over at Jimmy's Famous Seafood House in Baltimore, a legendary spot, iconic spot, I would say. The Poe, the Baltimore Ravens mascot, was in attendance that day, hanging out, shaking hands, and greeting kids. And the price of seafood is so high right now that 2 6-ounce crab cakes is $75.
Holy.
I was like, what? So it is absolutely insane due to the seafood shortage in the hospitality world right now.
Well, it's a shortage everywhere. And I'm sure somewhere there's not a shortage, but they're saying that there is. You know, whether it's the chips for cars or the chips at Chili's, or, you know, the seafood, somebody's going to jump on the bandwagon and say, yeah, we don't have it. So this is normally 36 cents. Today it's $3,600. But sure. It's a shame because those crab cakes were phenomenal. Did they take you into the back and show you their process and stuff? It was pretty cool.
So they have a partnership with the Baltimore Ravens, and they're filming on location to do some promo work for the upcoming season, for football, for fan engagement. So John was busy. He took the time to come over to the table and say that he adores you and had a great time with you when you were there, and He was very courteous to my family and me because of the relationship you have with him. But outside of that, he was pretty busy, and I didn't want to get in his way. I had, you know, two hungry, crazy kids that were with me. So we ate our fabulous food. The mussels were phenomenal. Like, the food was phenomenal. The place was great. So we'll definitely be back next time we're there.
It's definitely a cool spot. But we will look into the Houston. First, I'm going to look into whether I'm going. And then I'm going to look into, you know, it's been nice not seeing you for the past 6.5 weeks. So I'm not sure that I want to, huh?
Yeah, that's a lie. You miss my face. Come on.
I'm pretty sure I didn't.
I'm pretty sure you did.
I'm going to stick with I didn't. But all right, let's go hit a break, and then we're going to center on BKFC 19, I believe you said it was, which is. Yeah. Right around the corner next Friday night back in Tampa. Last time it was in Plant City or Lakeland. This time back at the fairgrounds, back to basically where the Lightning started as well, which was the fairgrounds. So we're going to talk to Britton Hart when we return. We're also going to be talking to Jared Warren when we return. So a lot of BKFC, and we'll go back and I'll complain more about Las Vegas, Conor McGregor. Do we want to hear more of his shtick? Or is it getting old? So more shenanigans right here in the dungeon, right there in his bathroom. This is Knockout Radio. 8 Man Strong and Stop Selling. We'll be right back.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hi, this is Chris Sims from the Tampa Bay Bucks, and you're talking with Randy Harris, baby.
8-Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.
Does your garage door opener seem to have a mind of its own? Or is it a squeaky or noisy garage doors? Sounds like they need a simple tune-up. Call Moores Boulevard Garage Doors. That's M-O-R-S-E Boulevard Garage Doors at 727-522-5070. I'm so glad I did, and they fixed my garage door correctly on the very first visit. Moores Boulevard Garage Doors offers 24/7 service and no extra charge for nights or weekend emergency calls. Repair or replace your garage door with Moores Boulevard Garage Doors. Call them today at 727-522-5070.
Puckett Store Fixtures, located at 2450 Fifth Avenue South in St. Pete, is just amazing. Puckett's has everything and anything you could ever want or need to display that favorite jersey, picture, game shoes, or anything else you'd like to display. If they don't have it, they can and will custom build it, from hooks to mannequins, safes to display cases, and much, much more. Check them out at PuckettStoreFixtures.com or stop in and see them at 2450 Fifth Avenue South in St. Pete.
Country Depot, located at 36 North Broad Street in historic downtown Brooksville, could be the coolest store on planet Earth. From home and garden decor, handbags, and sports items, Country Depot carries a very large variety of unique gifts like nautical, primitive, country, and much more. Follow them on Facebook at Country Depot and stay tuned to Knockout Radio for details on how to register to win a $50 gift certificate. It's called Country Depot in Brooksville and worth the drive.
You're hungry. Where do you go to eat?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
You want to have a drink? Where do you go?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Having a get-together with the guys from the softball team? Where do you do it?
That's right. Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Located at 1320 Central Avenue, St. Petersburg, right across from Tropicana Field, Berg's is the best place to take the whole family for food and fun. Going to a Rays game? Have dinner before the game at Berg's, and after the Rays win, come and celebrate with all your friends at Berg's, right across from the Trop. So come down and see Berg and the whole gang at Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
The Press Box Sports Emporium is Tampa's favorite place to watch the big game. Known for their chicken wings and the best burgers in town, the Press Box also features a full menu, daily happy hours and specials, and of course a special menu for the kids. Check out the new 12 draft system, or the boxing, or WWE pay-per-view parties. Go to PressBoxSports.com for more information and money-saving coupons. Proudly serving South Tampa for over 20 years. The PressBox Sports Emporium at 222 South El Mabry in Tampa.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? StaffZone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
What's up, guys? You're listening to Knockout Radio. This is the Russian Hammer. Choo choo, motherfuckers.
We are back. Here, Matt coming from wherever he's claiming to be today. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong and Staff Zone. I want to talk more about the press conference I was just at for Monty Kiffin. We're going to talk about the Conor fight, but let's look ahead again to next Friday and welcome our next guest. She's been on two times previous. This will be her third time back on the show. Britton Hart. Britton, how are you?
I am doing good. What's up, Knockout Radio?
We appreciate your time. First and foremost, and let's be honest now, what are you looking forward to most next week? Coming and punching someone in the face or going and seeing the manatees and the stingrays?
That is a close one. I'm definitely going to say punching people in my face is my job, my full-time passion. So that's number one. But I do love manatees more than anything, and they're kind of the gentle giants. So it's kind of the balance and moderation I need in my life.
So we, you know, I've talked to Steve. We have the boat ready for both the manatees and the bow fishing for the stingrays. So that's a little entertainment for you as you get ready to get back in the squared circle. I was at the press conference in Fort Lauderdale, rightfully so, a little upset, you know, with the poster and who's the main event. And how do you block all that out?
You know, I said my piece on it. That's kind of how I do block it out. It, you know, I was vocal about it. I stood up for myself. I let everybody know exactly how I felt. So I think everyone knows where I stand, and that kind of gave me peace with the situation that, well, here we go again. You know, story of my life. I have to keep proving what I'm worth to people. And if that's what I have to do, you know, I guess I'm going to go back at it. And that's what I'm really most excited about to do on the 23rd, is to show that I am the best female fighter and the most exciting and the ones that the fans not only want, but more so the fighter that the fans need. And that is a fighter who's all around. You know, I'm a good person outside the ring. I help and make training and being in the gym my life. You know, I try to be the best person and best version of myself. And I train my ass off in the gym and I make my life about fighting. So when you go in there and see me as a fighter, you're going to see that instead of someone who just kind of half-assed and is focused on a makeup line or modeling or whatever they want to be focused on. Not that that's wrong or right, but when you're looking at someone who's going to mainline and be the head, you know, the headliner of an event, I would think that people would want someone who's going to give the most exciting fight. So, I mean, maybe we'll see something different between Paige and Rachel. You know, it hasn't happened yet, but I'm excited to go in and do my thing and be the most excited fight of the night. And then I can go in there when they're done with their main event and basically, you know, what do the fans really want?
I mean, what do you really want? You're going to win the fight. Who do you want to win that fight, and do you need to fight Paige again? There's no reason for that, right?
I mean, I think that it's pretty convincingly that I won. I think that sometimes it gets under my skin when people are like, oh, if it would have went one more round, Paige would have knocked that girl out. I think that that's ridiculous, and if you watch that fight, not once in the fifth round did I go backwards, and she goes backwards tons, and her head snaps back. Yeah, she got a few punches in, but her few punches that she got in, it doesn't even come close to how many punches I got in on her. So,
sure.
You know, kind of looking on that too, being competitive, Paige is also a lot bigger than me, and so this last 6 months has really been working on gaining muscle mass and being competitive in that weight class too, so girls can't, you know, it just to the naked eye it looks like someone might have more power, do more damage, just because the sheer fact that they are, you know, she's probably a good 15, 20 pounds bigger than me. So it does look like her punches are more powerful when mine really it's just as hard, if not harder than hers. And it just doesn't show on someone who's bigger than that. But anyways, no, I mean, I'm still wanting to show, like, I'm still here fighting. That's part of being a fighter, on the fact that not only am I fighting for my life and what I believe in, but to be the best, and then to show people that, hey, if you need me to beat this girl two or three times, I'm going to. There's not a question about it. But really, you know, I really just want the respect that, you know, I earned and worked for, and basically kind of proven to everyone, hey, if you work hard and, you know, make sacrifices, you'll get to the top. Not that, oh, if you work hard, make sacrifices, you'll kind of get to the top. That's if someone likes you and if you look good enough or, you know, whatever. Like, I don't want to set that message. I want to show that the message is you work hard, you make it to the top, you stay at the top.
Well, let's not even talk about Paige. That could be, might be in the future. Let's talk about next Friday. What do you know, you know, about your opponent? And I always say this to the fighters, does that even matter? Because it doesn't really matter about the opponent. It matters about you and what you're going to bring to the fight. Does
that even matter? I do think that I've always said that too prior. Like, the biggest battle you're going to face is the one between you and yourself. So really, it's me stepping in the ring facing myself. Am I going to face, you know, someone who is going to overthink? Am I going to face someone who has better footwork because I'm capable of having that? You know, just whatever. You can do it all day long. But mm-hmm. I do typically think that, however, in some sense, there are some things that do play a factor when you're looking at the fighter. A lot of the times when I fight people, they're about the same height, same weight, the same fight style, kind of knowing the difference if they have an MMA or boxing background. So with this girl, she's 5'2", which is significantly smaller as far as height goes. And then she's also southpaw. So interesting enough, it will be the first person that I've ever fought southpaw in an actual competition. So I spar people southpaw all the time in the gym and sparring, and I definitely have tons of southpaw sparring partners. But as far as in the squared circle, I've never faced somebody southpaw. So that's something to take into high consideration.
Interesting. Good, Matt, go.
So Britt, so, you know, there are a lot of fighters throughout the history of the combat sports. You know, it was all about training camp. How much cardio they got, how their skill sets evolved, what they did to prepare for fights. But this is a new world, you know, not just for COVID, but just for in combat sports, where you have to have a social media presence to get the tickets and the views, the TikTokers and the Trillers and the all the YouTube stars. You know, what do you do to build your fan base outside of just going out and putting on a great fight where you took out a big name last time?
To be honest with you, I still haven't. Maybe that's a piece that I am missing, like you said, because it is such a big thing in the real world. But I have, like, a bunch of tattoos on me, and a lot of them are reminders to live in the present and to live in the real world. And that includes, you know, being present with the people that are in front of me and around me, not so much the people that are behind a phone screen or anything. So for me, my Instagram is a direct, like, window into my life. Like, I don't go out of my way to post anything that's not happening. You know, my real life is on there. I try to be really great about my sponsors and my teammates because they are right in front of me. Other than that, you know, I'm really just focused on training and being in the gym. You don't see me with a ton of training videos on my Instagram. You know, one, I don't want to give my secrets away, but two, you know, I'm actually doing the skills rather than posting them. So it's kind of cool to know that I have, like, I would say I'm like at 28,000 followers right now, and it's legitimately based off of that. It's not based of me paying for followers. It's not based on me, you know, posting a bunch of half-naked pictures or nude pictures. It's just a good mix of being, you know, exactly what I am, you know, being the best version, whether it's a mom, friend, teammate, you know, or and I still think that it is important to empower, you know, women and for them to be feel comfortable in their own skin, no matter what their body looks like. So, I mean, it's just all a good mix on that. And I'm pretty happy and proud of myself that it's been this great from just following those practices.
So along those lines, when you're talking about, you know, not showing your body and showing the sex side of female fighters, you know, I remember years ago, Michelle Watterson, the Karate Hottie, was, you know, didn't like the nickname and didn't think it, you know, was a fair representation for women combat fighters, but yet she can't get away from it because it's been her identity. You know, how do you feel like about that as far as female fighters? Do you think it tarnishes the sport in a way, or the credibility of the combat sport because they're beautiful and sexy and trying to become that on the internet?
Well, no, I think that's why I love Michelle, and I think that that's awesome. I think her nickname is really cute, and I like it. But if you notice, when she a lot of times when she does perform, she doesn't wear like the sports bra and the you know, the shorts. She usually does wear like the t-shirt. Like, she actually wears like a full t-shirt when she fights. I mean, I'm not saying all the time, but it seems like most, like, I've seen her fight like that several times, and I still think that she's awesome. And she's athletic, and I still think she's, you know, really pretty and empowers women. But I'm not saying that if women do, you know, are like that, that that's a bad thing, too. I don't think that at all. I just think that if, you know, you were to look at her Instagram and that's all that she posted, it would be a little bit of a different tone and different message rather than her saying, hey, you can be strong, fierce, on one end of the spectrum, but you can also be sweet or sexy or sultry on the other side. But again, it goes back to like keeping that balance. So if you want to look at her page.
And so earlier, Randy was going to get his new passport. He's decided to select other when he renews his passport. We saw in the Olympics, men that were genetically born a man competing in women's sports. Would you ever fight a transgender or someone who identifies in a combat sport? Would you ever fight a man who claims to be a woman?
You know, I feel like I've done that already outside. I feel like I've done that in the street. You know? I think any guy that wants to try to put his hands on me, I'm going to treat me, you know, whatever. So I feel like that's already, you know, and they say that's not a real man if you put your hands on a woman. So it's kind of funny that way. But, you know, I would, but I don't agree. You know, I don't agree. It's kind of one of those things like, what can you do if they sanction it and approve it? There's not really much I can do about it. But do I think it's right? No, I don't. I really don't. But it's just such a complicated, weird world where you offend everybody by what you say. And people identify as this and that. I think that, you know, in the weight class, I mean, I do think if you take a 125-pound woman and put it against a 125-pound man, I think if they're skilled and trained the same, that the 125 man more than likely will win just because of genetics and biology and how they carry muscle. It's a lot different. You know, but if the woman trains harder and is more, you know, committed in the gym and the guy slacks off a little bit or isn't as skilled, then yeah, the 125-pound girl will beat a 125-pound guy any day. I do think that. So it just kind of gets a little tricky when you're on the same playing field as far as training and the skill that you put into it. So it would be interesting. I would still do it. I mean, I've thought it myself and have made jokes before, like, hey, do you think I could beat, if there was a 125-pound weight class in bare knuckle, do you think I could beat all the guys in it, too? Because it seems like some of the guys don't know how to take a hit. So, I don't know. It's kind of like one of those things I'm not concrete on.
Britt, let me ask you this. How do you, and this might be a bad question today because you're fighting in less than 10 days. How do you normally relax? Let's say after a fight, you know, you're going to get away. You're not going to think about fights for a week or 2 weeks. Is it a place you want to go? Is there something on TV? Is there food that you want to eat that kind of just gets you away from the fight game?
And you're talking about after the fight?
Yeah, after the fight.
Oh, yeah. So I've definitely already mentioned that today. I can't wait to just go and eat and chill and just do, like, and maybe have, like, a day that's not so scheduled. Like, I have to be here and do that. I would love to go swim with manatees. It's Shark Week right now, and, you know, already we are training still three times a day, but we make sure that we go out to the beach and swim and do everything out there, too. But it's just for, like, an hour, because then we have to leave, and we're right back at it. So it would be nice to just have days where you're in one spot for a significant amount of hours.
So you want to swim with the manatees, but then you said it's Shark Week. Are you implying you want to swim with the sharks, too?
Yes, I am. I'm thinking, I saw one episode last night, and it actually, I really think it's something I have to do in my life. It's like a calling.
Well, we'll see if we can set that up. Before we let you go, let all the fans know what they can expect when they come out to the Florida State Fairgrounds next Friday night when you get back in the squared circle.
Yeah, well, fans can look forward to seeing what they love most about me, and that's me growing and evolving and being the best version. So I really made the hard decision to stay, well, not a hard decision, an easy decision. So I'm going to be coming in 5.0 on July 23rd, and that's because I am with Joey and my whole team at Boxcar in Miami. So Jason, Mateo, shout out to them for helping. And Dave Diaz and the, you know, Angel Diaz for making me feel evolved in a different form of myself. So people are going to see that, and it's definitely always going to be fireworks. But I'm looking to set history on the 23rd as well for female sports. So I'm happy about that. You can look forward to that, and just always growing, being a better version of myself.
The only other thing I can ask you is mention some of those sponsors that make life a little bit easier for you.
Yes, huge shout out to my sponsors, Koi CBD and Karma Coin. I also have Fusion and Elite, Palms and Paws, the Cryo Room, Boxstar, which we already shouted out. Dr. Rob has also been there, and he's been really great. I have Relentless Betrayal, and I know I should probably have this all listed out and be going down it, but they've been Future Generation Millionaires to Billionaires. Huge shout out to them too. And Martial Arts Experience, BW Sports One, Knuckle Up. They all seem to be behind me 100%, so I'm so thankful for them. Tim and Britt.
It's an awesome list. We'll get you on again next week, so in case if you missed any of them, we can mention them next week. I will see you on the boats with Steve, and then I will see you out there on Friday night out at the fairgrounds. Britton, thank you, as always, for your time. Looking forward to seeing you next week.
Absolutely. I can't wait.
That is Britton Hart back in the squared circle, returning to Tampa next Friday. We may even have some tickets next week. I'm in contact with Dave Feldman. We have some interesting things to talk about next week when Dave will be back on as well. So let's go hit a quick break, coming to you live from the dungeon and wherever the hell Matt is today. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong and Staff Zone. We'll be right back.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Lawrence Taylor, and you're listening to Knockout Radio.
8-Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you're bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.
Does your garage door opener seem to have a mind of its own? Or is it a squeaky or noisy garage doors? Sounds like they need a simple tune-up. Call Moores Boulevard Garage Doors,
That's M-O-R-S-E Boulevard Garage Doors at 727-522-5070. I'm so glad I did, and they fixed my garage door correctly on the very first visit. Moores Boulevard Garage Doors offers 24/7 service and no extra charge for nights or weekend emergency calls. Repair or replace your garage door with Moores Boulevard Garage Doors. Call them today at 727-522-5070.
Puckett Store Fixtures, located at 2450 Fifth Avenue South in St. Pete, is just amazing. Puckett's has everything and anything you could ever want or need to display that favorite jersey, picture, game shoes, or anything else you'd like to display. If they don't have it, they can and will custom build it, from hooks to mannequins, safes to display cases, and much, much more. Check them out at PuckettStoreFixtures.com or stop in and see them at 2450 Fifth Avenue South in St. Pete.
Jabra Elite 85T True Wireless Earbuds have been engineered with the most cutting-edge noise cancellation technology on the market to give you complete control over how you hear the world around you. It's time to level up the way you block out the world. Go to Jabra.com for more details on these and other great Jabra products and pick up a pair today.
You're hungry. Where do you go to eat?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
You want to have a drink? Where do you go?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Having a get-together with the guys from the softball team? Where do you do it?
That's right. Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Located at 1320 Central Avenue, St. Petersburg, right across from Tropicana Field, Berg's is the best place to take the whole family for food and fun. Going to a Rays game? Have dinner before the game at Berg's, and after the Rays win, come and celebrate with all your friends at Berg's, right across from the Trop. So come down and see Berg and the whole gang at Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
The Press Box Sports Emporium is Tampa's favorite place to watch the big game. Known for their chicken wings and the best burgers in town, the Press Box also features a full menu, daily happy hours and specials, and of course a special menu for the kids. Check out the new 12 draft system, or the boxing, or WWE pay-per-view parties. Go to PressBoxSports.com for more information and money-saving coupons. Proudly serving South Tampa for over 20 years. The PressBox Sports Emporium at 222 South Dale Mabry in Tampa.
Got bills? Looking for work? But nobody is hiring? StaffZone is. As the leading provider of commercial construction, industrial, and special event staffing throughout the Southeast and Texas, StaffZone has plenty of work to go around, and they need you now. Don't wait. Go now to www.thestaffzone.com and find a branch closest to you. Work today, get paid today. That's the Staff Zone way.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hi, this is Vinny LeCavalier, and you're listening to Knockout Radio.
All right, we're back to you live from the dungeon here. Hopefully I'll find my voice at some point. Let's welcome back to the program. I believe he was Mr. March last year. I wonder what it'll be this year on the hottest fireman in Tampa Bay. And that's Jared Warren. Jared, what's up, man? Did I scare him away?
Yes, you started talking about his calendar pose. We just talked to Bret Hart about like the sexiness of female fighters, and Jared Warren bringing the heat as a firefighter and first responder in Tampa Bay.
That was my beautiful intro and the whole nine yards, and I don't know what happened.
Well, I was going to talk about, you know, this whole segue about how fighters still have careers, you know, and with the Sean O'Malley fight with the Chris Montanino, he still worked a full-time job up to the fight. And we know that the champion, the former champion, Stipe Miocic, he had the same, you know, resume as Jared Warren. They're both firefighters, they're both first responders, and they're both actively fighting in their career. So, it feels like old school UFC. I love the storyline. I love that what happened at 264. I love the fact that somebody can still have a full-time job and work on their dream and then get a chance to showcase it on the biggest stage. It's what made the sport so accessible, I think. You know, Rich Franklin being a teacher. Al Iaquinta was a real estate in between fights because he kept having knee injuries and things that held him back from competing. And as you know, Randy, you only get a paycheck when you perform. You know, all the training camps, all the stuff leading up to the fight, you know, most of the guys are fighting to, you know, they're training, they're paying their coaches, they're paying their nutritionists, they're paying their chirotherapies, their recovery, their doctors. You know, so they're spending money, and the only time they make money is when they actually have a fight. So it's nice to see that the sport going back to its roots.
I agree.
And I think it's important. I think it's important to know that, you know, if you have a dream and you want to be a professional athlete, that this is a industry that you still can. Like, you, it's you versus your opponent. That's it. It's not a team. It's not political. You know, like, look, I was in New York City. I was right next to Rutgers Park, right? There's some of the greatest basketball players you'll find on the planet in Rutgers Park. But they'll never conform to a league. They'll never be able to get a scholarship to a school. They probably have felonies or things that hold them back. But from a talent standpoint, you can find some amazing people in the street playing basketball in New York City.
Okay. Right? Well, thankfully, we don't have to listen to you preach anymore. Because Mr. March from 2019, I don't know if they did the calendar in 2020, so we'll find out what the Heated Fireman of Tampa Bay month will be for 2021. And welcome back, Jared Warren. What month are you?
Hey, man. Last time I was January, but they
January.
Don't do one. Yeah, they don't do one yearly around here. It's a very random thing they do for charity here in Tennessee. So we kind of... Me and the guys in the department do wish they did it more often, because it's always like a competition and we like to, you know, compete with each other and talk crap like everybody else. But now they haven't done one in the last couple of years, honestly.
I can't imagine it being a competition.
Well, I mean, there's a few guys on the job that are in shape. You know, a lot of the younger guys try and come on and, you know, make a name for themselves, I guess.
Yeah. I was being a little or a lot of, you know, facetious. Does it matter? Did it matter what month? Is there one month better, you know, when you're doing those calendars? That's a serious question.
Like, I got lucky for me, because January was best, because since it's Tampa and, you know, that's our Gasparilla month, I got to do my little photo shoot for it, like right on Bayshore, which is close to home, so I didn't have to drive anywhere. A lot of these other guys had to drive to, like, Ocala to take pictures and stuff, which is ridiculous. So I was happy to get the random month I did.
Cool. See, again, it was a legitimate question. I wasn't trying to clown around.
It's the first month. I mean, you open the calendar, you want to see the first month, and you kind of flip through the rest. But, yeah, front and center.
Definitely lucked out.
So, Jared, we were talking before you got on the show. We were talking about how, you know, Chris Martinho, who fought Sugar Sean O'Malley, he had a full-time job at a paint factory working 80 hours a week. We know Stipe Miocic, the former champ, was a firefighter, first responder, same as you. You know, is there a point where you just want to be a full-time fighter and that's all you want to do? Or is the firefighter and the first responder role something you'll do for the rest of your life, and fighting is just something you do as a hobby?
Well, man, when I was younger and first started fighting, I didn't really know exactly where I wanted to go career-wise, but I did, you know, fighting was awesome. Like, of course, that was more like the dreaming side, to be able to fight big and, you know, live off that kind of money. But I always kind of stay like, I'm a dreamer and a realist. So at the same time, I finally, you know, I picked a good career. I'm glad I picked the one I did. It'll be the one that pays the bills long-term, you know, whether fighting continues to work out or not. So I kind of have to have both, but more so that the fighting is ultimately just because I love it and it's something that I want to do, something kind of out of the ordinary. But yeah, firefighting may not be quite as fun, but it'll pay the bills long term, at least.
Speaking of fighting next Friday back in your backyard, do you prefer that? A lot of guys want to get away from their backyard. They don't want the added pressure of friends and family and whatever. But it seems like you thrive on it, being in your backyard.
I love it. I'll take the home crowd anytime. it does, to me, feels good to have a big support group come out and everybody get loud and, you know, cheering. I feel like there is a, like, energy from it, you know, so I would definitely love fighting here in the hometown.
And Jared, so is that because you don't have to drive very far, like the photo shoot?
Exactly.
Starting to see a pattern here. No, it's great though, because I have, you know, flown to other people's hometowns, like different states, different countries and stuff. And I would say while the fans will usually give respect in general, they're always going to root for the hometown boy, you know, makes sense. So I like it. I like having my friends and family around cheering for me and all that. So I think that's best case scenario to fight in your own backyard.
So Randy was talking, you know, earlier, he was making, you know, a joke, and but my point was, like, we just watched the UFC fight. Conor McGregor broke his ankle in a vicious fashion.
Hold on a second. Hold on. What was the joke? What joke did I make?
Well, you're being facetious. You're like talking, you know, like, but I'm talking what? About. I don't know. Just all the comments you say are like being silly. But the point that I'm trying to make is that, you know, we saw Conor McGregor break his ankle in a vicious fashion. A few fights back, we saw Chris Weidman snap his leg in combat sport. You know, as a first responder and someone who has actually killed a guy in a combat sport, for those of you who don't know your story, you threw a kick to a guy's chest and started a cardiac arrest. You know, do you have the ability, or do you have the necessity of going over and offering aid instantly if you do injure your opponent in a way?
Skill wise, yeah, but I don't think they'd let me. I think they'd straight push me out of the way and get somebody that that is, you know, like a ringside doc or somebody who's planned to help out in that situation. But I would offer.
I mean, and so talking about what happened. I mean, you did throw a kick to a chest, and the guy went down. Like, what was your response? Like, how do you handle that situation? Were you just in shock? Or did your instincts take over and you tried to help them out?
I would assume the response was, I guess I won.
Yeah, did you just put your hand up in the air instantly?
Yeah. Initially, that is what happened, because I thought I just, like, completely knocked the wind out of him, and that he was just, you know, that's why he was on the ground. Like, he was just done, couldn't breathe. And then it was like, you know, I kind of celebrated my hands in the air, like you're saying, like, for a few seconds. Then I turned around, and he's, like, pale white and not moving. I'm like, okay, he's really, really not breathing. So there was kind of a oh, crap moment. But the, you know, they do have people, like, paramedics and stuff ringside in case anything like that or any kind of injuries happen. So I kind of just had to step aside respectfully and let them do their thing in the ring there.
Tell us a little bit about your opponent next week. What do you know about it? And I always say it this way. Does it even matter who it is? And do you need to know anything about him?
Ultimately, no, it doesn't matter. They did offer me, like, one other opponent at first, and my coach sent it to me, and I was like, yeah, sounds good. He's like, did you even look him up or look at any of his fights? I'm like, no. I was like, it doesn't matter. I was like, I just want to fight. Like, you can't say you want to fight and move up the ranks and be the best if you're, like, being picky and choosy. So I said yes. And for whatever reason, that guy was unable to compete. And then they got me somebody that was actually, I would say, more experienced as far as bare knuckle goes. Younger guy named Zion. I forgot what state he's from, but he's not from Florida. And yeah, he's got a good little record going, a couple fights, but he kind of started on the lower show, like they call it, like the Toe Line series. It's kind of like entry level, and then from there, right, you know, you make it into the BKFC. I started straight on the big show, and my fights have been there. But you know, all respect, I think we're gonna have a good fight, and I look forward to meeting him center circle.
Did you do any research after that? Okay, you've now accepted. He's now accepted. We're set. Do you go and do any research? Do you go to the Toe the Line library and look at him? Or again, you know, it's just as much, if not more, what you're going to do to him than what he's going to do to you. So it may not even matter what he's done.
Yeah, ultimately, it doesn't matter. Like, I did look briefly, but more so, I kind of leave that to my coaches. They look at it, and they kind of, you know, break down their game plan. But, you know, we've all seen time and time again, somebody can fight one way in past fights, and then, you know, and when the new one comes, it could be a totally different fighter from the way they might have adjusted their training. So it's more so just kind of know what you're doing, you know, and how to make adjustments throughout the fight for how they're fighting, you know. So,
right.
Like I said, I have seen a little bit, but ultimately it doesn't matter.
When is your last shift?
Actually, it was, what day did I get off? Let's see, today's, I worked Monday. I got off Tuesday morning. So I actually had a few guys cover my upcoming shift, so I don't go back till after the fights are off. That way I can get more training and more good rest in between, because you guys probably all know at the fire department, we rarely get good nights of sleep. So, so I don't have to go back for a couple of weeks. This is probably the longest break I've ever had from the fire department, so I'm pretty excited about it.
Is it off limits? And Matt, I know you got a couple of things before we run out of time. You know, we watch all the Chicago Fire, PD, all that kind of stuff, and I happened to see an episode late last night. Is it kind of off limits for you to say, hey, we haven't had a call in like 2 hours?
Yes. As soon as you do that, everybody's like, bro, you know that. And it's true. A lot of times we do jinx ourselves if we talk like that.
That's funny. I got that.
So Jared, like, I have the honor and pleasure of knowing you personally, locally, you know, but my question I have for Bret Hart, the same for you. You know, you're one of those kind of guys, from what I know about you, you're just the guy to go in and handle business and let your actions inside the square circle be your talk, you know. But as we've seen from Jake Paul and Logan and all these Twitter universe stars, and you know, they're doing the things that get eyeballs on their name and tickets in the seats and butts in the seats and views on pay-per-view. You know, have you considered doing any kind of viral antics, you know, to get a bigger platform, to get bigger paychecks?
You know, it is smart in that sense that it does create hype, and, you know, maybe the guys do get paid more in that sense. But I'm not good at faking how I am and how I feel. I kind of, you know, wear it out there in the sleeve. So I don't personally have anything against this guy. Like, and the way I think of it is, if we weren't fighting each other professionally, I wouldn't even know who he was. So, I mean, why should I have any personal feelings towards him? Now, if someone does start something towards me, like, I'm okay with some kind of retaliation. But most of the time, I just think it's kind of ridiculous. Like, I don't want to feel like, if someone gets in my face during weigh-ins, that's fine. But, like, if someone tries to do that next level, we're like, oh, I'm going to push you or whatever. Like, it's not going to be like, oh, my corner holds me back and, you know, they separate us and that's the end of it. Like, no, in 5 minutes, when we're off stage, I'm going to go find you and I'm going to hurt you and retaliate. You know, I think that shit personally. So, I don't fake it. And I don't want to be the one to spark any kind of controversy for no reason. But, you know, if someone else starts it, then, you know, be ready for somebody to come back at you.
For you to follow. Final question, as we're almost out of time. I talk about this often. I talk about it with all the Buccaneers in the locker room. I have my opinion. I'm curious yours. Is there a line in trash talking? If you're talking crap, is there a line that you can go over? I don't think there is, just so you know.
With friends or potential enemies? Which one?
I would say with any. I mean, I would say, you know, I mean, we're talking about the Conor McGregor, you know, how.
I'm talking,
you know,
whatever. Is there a line or something that you can't address?
Yeah, I think so. Like I said, I think there are certain things you definitely shouldn't bring into it. But again, it's like, if you have, like, true, like, hate against someone, then I guess there really is no line. But if it's, like, strictly for hype purposes, I do think there should be.
Well, and again, if it's for hype, that means it's really both guys know, so they know it's not real. And if you really dislike the guy, what difference does it make? And that's what I've said. If I don't like somebody or they don't like me, they're going to say whatever anyway. But just kind of my thoughts. Yeah, I know we're out of time.
I guess I'd have to get somebody there to cross that line for me to see.
Well, see, yeah, basically what I'm saying is you're a nicer guy than me.
That's way nicer. Way nicer.
I kind of just have a light switch. I'm really cool and calm and collected most of the time, but I have a kill switch. And once that flips, then I will say anything. I'll do anything. I'll hurt you as bad as I can. But I don't like going there unless it's really go time and I'm getting paid for it.
Hey, Jerry, Randy has a kill switch and it's on a buffet. So when it goes on, the buffet has no chance.
No, the kill switch is when they shut the buffet down and I'm not done. That's what bothers me. Always great to talk to you. Can't wait to see you next week. And I was going to give this to you anyway, but I understand you had an earbud situation. So we're going to send you out a care package again from 8 Man Strong, as well as a pair of new earbuds from Jabra Electronics.
Thank you guys so much. I appreciate it. And Matt, do some training tomorrow, GNAT time.
I'll see you tomorrow.
I can't wait to block that off of the replay. It's not wrong. All right, Jared, see you next week. Jared Warren gets back in the squared circle next week, and I'm setting up a fight with Matt and Quentin Rampage Jackson as well. So next week, I want to thank everybody for tuning in. I want to thank our sponsors, 8 Man Strong and Staff Zone. Hit me up on Twitter, at Knockout Radio. We need to change yours. Yours needs to be changed before we plug it again. Hey, see Matt, everybody.
Let me tell you now.
8 Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8 Man Strong.
WTAN Clearwater.
FM 106.1.
WDCF Dade City.
FM 102.3.
WZHR Zephyr Hills.
FM 104.3.
Listen.